Let's pray. Yeah, Lord, I just thank you for this time of worship that we've had this morning.
Yeah.
You know, the real heart of where we should be and where you are is putting you at the centre of all things. And I just pray as I speak this morning, it's actually you that's speaking through me. We may have prepared, may have looked, but Lord, it's all about you.
Amen.
And it's all about you speaking to us through me. So, Lord, I surrender all that I've done and all I've prepared over to you. And may this be a powerful word that changes lives and transforms us into more of you. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. You know, with every waking hour, we're worshipping something, aren't we? It doesn't matter what it is, we're worshipping something. It could be our workplace. It could be the television. It could be Liverpool. It could be Newcastle United. I nearly said Everton, but every waking hour, without us knowing it sometimes, we're worshipping something. And I looked up the definition of worship, and it said this: it's mankind in adoration and reverence of God. It's mankind in adoration or reverence of God. And actually, I fundamentally disagree with this meaning. Totally. Because according to this, it's one way. According to this, our worship is all one way. You know what? Worship is an interaction between two parties. It's actually God worshiping us as we worship him. It is a two-way street. It offers adoration and love between the two parties. You see, when we truly worship something, we give it all our focus, we give it all our attention, we give it all our adoration. At the moment, because I've got your attention and you're focused on me, obviously, you are totally worshipping me as I stand at the front here. But you know, I can quite easily worship anything at all. My wife's apple crumble and custard is worth worshipping above all things when it comes to food. The Sunday roast is unbelievable. But you know, I could actually fall into the trappings of worshipping my work, where work becomes the all-encompassing thing in my life. And it can do very easily in the environment that Wendy and I work in. It's a seven-day-a-week work day, you know, and it can become all-encompassing into our lives.
Yeah.
And it can overtake what I'm actually worshipping. Without me realising it, I can be in the middle of it all and I can forget God actually is with me or in it or anywhere near it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a dangerous place to be. And I have to stop myself sometimes and think, actually, the farm and the work isn't what's important.
No.
It isn't what's important. It's how I treat and where I put God and Jesus in my life is the important thing to me. And it's a challenge. It is a challenge because there's so many things out in this world that we worship. But what is important to us? Is it Jesus? Or is it the stuff that's around us? Is it the worldly stuff that it's thrown at us on a daily basis? And we could all say, yes, Jesus is it, Jesus is it. But I tell you now, it's a hard place, isn't it? It's a hard place. You see, we wonder why there's fears and anxieties. And we wonder why there's troubles in our lives. See, inadvertently, they can become the things that we worship without we realizing it. But you know, Jesus came to show us how to truly worship. See, Jesus did all sorts of miracles. He did all sorts of healing. He sent out demons. He fed the 5,000. etc., 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 and we can go on all day about them. But I tell you now, his focus wasn't on any of them. His focus was on his Father. That's where his attention and his focus lay, on his Father. Without the Father say so, and without him aligning himself to the Father, Jesus did nothing at all. It was all through him giving his focus and attention to his Father that made him then go out and do the miracles, that made him then go out and do the healing, and then made him went out to do the 5,000. See, we live in a world full of distractions, don't we? Whether it's the internet, the football game, the music we listen to, the people we come around sometimes, are all distractions in our lives. And you know what? It's the devil's plan to put them there. Let us read Matthew 14, starting at verse 26, and it's a very well-known passage, as you've probably realised by now. But like all well-known passages, we fall into this trap, don't we, of skipping through it, knowing exactly what's going on. And actually, when I read this again, and I don't know, God gave me this passage when I was preparing this a week ago. And I wondered, why on earth has he given me this? Why on earth has he given me to talk about Peter getting out of a boat and walking on water? And I realized why. Let's read it. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke and said to them, "Take heart. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out and go on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. In the beginning, he began to sink and he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Just imagine the scene for a minute. I mean, this lake wasn't a calm, glassed piece of water going on here. There were waves being chucked at that boat, left, right, and centre. They see Jesus coming in the distance. They wonder, what on earth, who on earth is this coming towards them on the water itself? And Peter cries out to him saying, "Lord, if it's you, command me to get out of this boat and let's see what happens." See, I wonder how many distractions were going on at that point in time. The waves themselves must have been a total distraction to Peter and the 11 disciples in that boat. And I wonder what Peter felt like when he got out of that boat and put his toe on the water for the first time. I mean, I have baths. I mean, I have one every 3 months, whether I need one or not. And I've yet not got it sussed yet to put my foot on that water without it touching the base of that bath surface. I've been trying for years and I still can't get it. You see, I wonder what the 11 disciples were doing when they saw their mate get out the boat. I wonder if they're thinking, "Where are you going, La?" Where do you think he can? I wonder if some of them are actually trying to pull him back. Who knows? It's never said. I'm just trying to imagine the scene here. I mean, if my best mate going out the boat, thinking, you stupid idiot, what are you doing? Not only that, Peter still gets out of the boat and gets to walk on water. See, for a moment, and again, we don't know how long this happened. How long Peter was on that water. Was it minutes? Was it seconds? Was it 10 minutes? I don't know. But you know, I truly believe at that moment in time when Peter is walking on that water, true worship was happening. Jesus had his eyes totally fixed on Peter, and Peter had his eyes totally fixed on Jesus. And all the distractions that were going on at that moment in time, his 11 mates screaming at him, get back in the boat, the waves that had been chucked at him left, right and centre, were completely oblivious to him. Every distraction that was going on at that moment in time, Peter was not aware of at all. And it's like one of those movies, isn't it, where everything just goes suddenly quiet and everything just focuses on that situation. And yes, he gets distracted. And yes, he gets into trouble. But it's a bit like Sam was saying this morning, with all his failures and all his fears, Jesus didn't let him drown. He reached out to him, said, come on, good try. See, I reckon Jesus on the other side was saying, come on, Peter, come on, we can do this, guy. Come on, the two of us can get this sorted. Jesus was just as much praising and blessing Peter as Peter was praising and blessing Jesus. The two of them together were in total worship with each other. You see, we get these squirrel moments in our life, don't we? We get determined on focusing on something. And yes, it may be Jesus. And maybe something else. And suddenly, squirrel. Squirrel. Don't we? You know what? It's the devil's plan. You know what? It's the devil's plan to take our eyes off Jesus. You know, we get it at street passes a lot of the time. When you witness to somebody, helping somebody out, talking to people about Jesus, you'll get somebody, loudmouth youth, come charging across the face of you, giving it loads. You know what? That's the devil. Because the last thing he wants you and me to do is to focus on Jesus and witness to people out there how good and great he is. See, the devil fears us. The devil fears us when we align ourselves with Jesus. Because there's nothing on this earth can ever stop us. And we need to realize and get hold of that fact. That when we do everything for Jesus, when we are under his command, the devil actually fears us. We have a jealous God. He wants all of you and me. Not just bits and pieces every now and again. He wants the total package. Because when we're totally committed to him and him alone, when we truly worship, when we give God our full attention, it blesses him. It blesses him. It does his heart good when his people come and just worship him for who he is. You see, God asks for something that's of worth to come to him. He asks of something that's of worth. What's he talking about when he asks of something of worth? It isn't some golden trinket. It isn't some great offering. It's you. It's you and me. That's the worth he's looking for. You know, you are so precious to him.
Thank you, Lord.
So precious to him. In Isaiah 62, it says, he delights over his people. He delights over you. Despite your faults and your failures, he delights over you. He delights over you, me, so much that he went and died on a cross That's how much, that's the depth of his love for you and me. You see, he asks for every breath he took. That dying breath, that final breath. He gave it up for you and me. Why? So both parties can come together again in true worship once more. That was his heart, that his people will come again to him in true worship. You see, we have to be careful how we worship. Is it superficial? Is it surface worship? You know, Matt Redmond wrote that song, "When the Music Fades, and I'm Coming Back to the Heart of Worship." Do you know why he sung it? He wrote it? He sacked off the entire worship group. PA, everything. Because he came to realize, to them, it was more about performance and how good they sounded than actually worshiping Jesus. Now, there's a thought. I'm not saying we do it. And I don't say we ever did. But it's a thought, isn't it? Matt Redmond realized that his worship was superficial. It was surface stuff. It wasn't really heart of worship that they were doing. They have a huge, I mean, I don't know how big their band is. But the whole lot went. And for 6 months, they had nothing apart from people coming as a congregation and singing without music. I don't know whether they had words. But his aim was to come back to the heart of worship, where it wasn't about performance and it wasn't about how good they sounded. It was about centrally Jesus. All about him. Nobody else. All about him. See, we have to be careful we don't fall into that trap. You could be worshipping just as well, sitting at the back, sitting on your seat quiet, as somebody standing up, raising their hands and jumping around. Because that's all surface stuff. Jesus is looking in here. He's looking at your heart. He's looking at where is your worship coming from. And if you think you have to jump around and raise your arms because it looks good and your mates might think it's brilliant, don't. Don't. Because it's not what Jesus is seeking. True worship comes from the heart. It's the place only God knows. And yourself. See, heart is the basis of character. Your heart is the basis of your character. And that includes your mind and your will as well. You know, even sin comes from the heart. Matthew 15, 19 says this. Out of the heart come evil thoughts. So your heart exposes exactly who you are. But you know, David in Psalm 139, 23 says this. And it really challenged me when I looked at this. And you probably know it. It says, "Search me. Search me. Know my heart. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." See, Jesus is not trying to condemn us here. Jesus is trying to make us realize what true worship is all about. But we need to search ourselves and really know why we're worshiping and who we're worshiping. See, when God looks at our heart, what does he find? That's the question I came to, the crux for me. When I worship, what does God find in my heart? Am I busy thinking of other things? Am I thinking, oh, it's 12:30, I need to get back to work now? You know, hurry up, let's pack away, you know. I can easily fall into that trap. You know, we need to get the sermon going now. You know, I very structured me, as many, you know. I find it a real challenge sometimes to just let that go and just let the Holy Spirit flow it and use it without me actually trying to control it. You know, I find this really sometimes very difficult sometimes as a person to do this. See, has Jesus got all that we have? Has Jesus got all that we are? Have we given it to Jesus? And this might mean sacrificing stuff. It might mean giving up stuff if it's getting in the way. If it's giving you those distractions that are stopping you worshipping in the first place. What are the squirrels in your life that you might have to start thinking about? You see, Jesus is in the business of transformation. He came to seek and save the lost. Why? He came to transform us back into his likeness. That's his heart. He wants you and me to be more like him. Back to where we should have been, back in creation. Back with him as Adam and Eve were right at the beginning. That's his heart for you and me, where we worship him non-stop, all day long. And I know practically that isn't always the way, but what's our priority? You know, the Bible is in two parts. The first part is Genesis 1 to chapter 3, verse 2. And the second part of the Bible is chapter 3, verse 3, back to the Revelation. You see, the first part of the Bible is exactly where God wanted us to be until sin came into the world. And since then, if you look at the Bible, it's all about transforming us back to him. It's all about, when you read it, is God trying to get his people back in line with him. All the way through it. Paul's letters, the Gospels, Revelation, everything. It's all about us getting back in line with Jesus. Jesus wants us to align ourselves with him. And the only true way we can do it is through true worship from the heart. It's the only way we will ever align ourselves with Jesus is if we truly align ourselves with true worship from the heart. See, true worship from the heart puts Jesus first. And this then brings transformation. And seeing his people transformed more into this likeness as we journey through this life blesses his heart. It blesses his heart to see his people transformed more into his likeness. See, God's focus, his full attention is directed at us. He worships us. And when we give God our full attention from the heart, we then align ourselves with him. So when those distractions come, when those storms come, when the squirrels start running around, they're put in their rightful place. They don't become important to us anymore. He does. Just imagine what we can achieve if we truly align ourselves with Jesus, both individually and corporately. Peter walked on water when he truly aligned himself with Jesus. When he truly worshipped Jesus and Jesus worshipped him, Peter walked on water. Imagine what we could do if we did the same. Matthew 5:8 says this, "Blessed are those with a pure heart." Let's pray. Yeah, Lord. I just imagine what we could achieve if we truly came to the heart of worship, when it's all about you. And Lord, the challenge really is to realize, what are those distractions in our life? What's stopping us? What are the priorities? Is it our stuff? Is it the squirrels? Or is it you? Because Lord, I pray as we go through this journey that we bless each other, as you bless us, Lord. Lord, we want to bless you. And Lord, help us realize and remember it's all about you. Lord, help us take away those distractions now. Challenge us. If those distractions are getting in the way, Lord, reveal them to us. Because, Lord, we want to be people who want to be truly worshipping from the heart, where it's all about you and not about me. So, Lord, do us good now. As we sing again this song, maybe we'll sing it in a different way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.